Okay. So let's get started then.
Okay.
We are holding on Samach on the days, the fourth line from the end of the narrow line, line against Ain.
Okay.
Okay. Once, and you mistakenly counted them as one, and how that messes up your count further on.
Alexander, you have a radio next to you or something?
No, I'm just speaking into my phone. Why?
Okay. It seems like it's a bit of an echo for some reason. Okay.
I can put it on speaker, I guess. Is any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, good. All right. So, fine. So we said, again, we talked in the Mishnah about the cases where you have two animals come out at the same time and you counted them as one and how that messes up your count. We mentioned also the Mishnah had also a girsa that was on the side that Maseres HaShas brought, which you'll find in the printed Mishnayos as well, is that if the ninth and tenth come out at the same time, then they're messed up. So now we're going to talk about that a little. Omer Rava, Yotsu Shnayim Bachi, if two animals come out in place number nine. So eight animals came out, and we're not talking about like we did yesterday where you have every two are coming out and you're counting them in pairs. That's fine. We said that then every tenth pair will be Kaddish. We're talking about you have one by one are coming out, you reached eight. Then in ninth place, the ninth and tenth come out together. So what happens? Crunchy, if you called them nine, if you said nine when both of them are coming out, then you have a problem. Now what you wind up with is the 10th one, which is Meiser, and the ninth one, which is Chulin, are mixed up with each other. In other words, you're not going to know. There's no way of knowing which one is which. Because whichever one is considered the 10th, remember, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we talked about the idea of Eshel of Samson, that you don't necessarily, even if it looks like the both of them came out at the same time, not necessarily is that the case. So therefore, over here, so you called them both nine. One of them is the real ninth one. The other one is the real tenth one, but you called it mistakenly nine, which we learned in the Mishnah, that doesn't matter. Assuming the Ale of Kaddish, the tenth one is Kaddish automatically. Therefore, it's supposed to be brought as Meister. But the problem is, here you can't bring either one as Meister because one of them is Meister, the other one is Chulin, and you can't bring Chulin into the Azar.
And you don't know which one is which, basically.
You don't know which one is which, exactly. But what it winds up, in other words, is you can't bring either of them as a carbon. You're going to have to wait till they develop a mum and then eat them. As far as you're not going to be allowed to shear either one of them, you're not going to be allowed to work with either one of them. If you do, you're not going to be chayav malchus because each one is a suffix. I guess maybe if you were to shear both of them one at the same time, or if you were to work with both of them at the same time, maybe a person would be chayav malchus because then whichever way you look at it, he's working with mice. But let's not get into that. The point is that if he works with either one individually or shears each one individually, he's not going to be chayav malchus because it's a suffix. But on the other hand, he can't bring any of them as a korban, and he can't do anything with any. He has to wait till each of them develop a mum, and then he can eat them. Similarly, so therefore what happens is I'm assuming the ale of Kaddish. What happens is, again, the tenth one is Kaddish automatically, so therefore that's the point. That's why you have Chulin and Kaddish mixed in with each other. The ninth one in and of itself doesn't have any actual Kaddusha, because you didn't call it ten. It's not like an Our Mishnah where you mistakenly called it the tenth. But on the other hand, it, practically speaking, it's mixed up with the Meister, and you can't tell which is which. Similarly, and the ninth one is actually considered the ninth one. You did call it number nine, so therefore there's no in and of itself it doesn't have any kedusha of the tenth one. But nevertheless, you can't tell which is which. What about if you call both of them asiri? What if when the two of them are coming out, instead of saying the number nine, you said the number ten? Same problem. You have the same problem. Again, the 10th one and the 9th one are mixed up with each other, and there's no way to tell which is which. My timer, why is that? Same idea. Because you call them both 10th. And we said in the Mishnah, if you call the 10th one 10th, then it has Kedusha. If you call the 9th one 10th, it also has Kedusha. So therefore, again, but not Kedusha insofar as being brought as a carbon, only Kedusha insofar as that you have to wait till it develops the moon. And again, the problem is here, you don't know which one is which.
So there's no difference between you name them twice nine or twice ten.
Well, you didn't name them twice. What we're talking about is you said only one number. You said nine or you said ten. Nine meaning you're counting both of them as a ninth, or ten meaning you're counting both of them as a tenth. Yeah, either way. Either way, it's correct. Exactly. similarly, Yotsu Shnayim Basiri, similarly when it comes to the tenth one, if two animals come out together, so you had nine came out individually, and now you have the tenth and eleventh come out together, the Kron Asiri, and if you called them collectively the tenth, similar problem. You have the 10th and the 11th mixed up together. Now, here it's a little bit different than the 9th and the 10th. The 9th, remember we said in the Mishnah, is never going to be brought as a korban. It just has the kedusha of Meiser to the extent that you have to wait till it develops a mum. The 11th one, we said, if it's mistakenly called 10, does actually have the kedusha to be brought as a korban. It should be brought as a shlomim. So here you have an issue where you have Meister and Shlomim mixed up with each other. What we're going to do about that, that we're going to deal with later on the Omer, what you do in such a case.
Because in the case of you count two as nine, one of them is ten. But since you counted here two as...
Now, here we're talking about a different case. Here we're talking about that you have the 10th and the 11th.
And the 11th, exactly.
Yes. And
so
you called them both 10.
Exactly. Right. So they could both be 10, really.
So each one is considered, right, that's the problem. So one of them is Meister. The other one has the din of the 11th that was called 10th, which is supposed to be brought as a Shlomim, but you don't know which is which. Which is the Meister, which is the Shlomim. There's no way to tell. So what we're going to do with that, we're going to talk about that soon.
Okay.
Similarly, Kron Achados, sir, what if you called them both 11th? Same problem. I see the whole and more of them Zebazet. Then you're back to the problem with the 9th, where you have Kodesh and Chulin mixed one with another. Because when you call the 11th, it has no Kedusha. That's the normal way to call it. But on the other hand, the fact that you called the 10th one number 11 doesn't matter because that's even the Eilat Kodesh.
Right.
So therefore, so you wind up again, you find it with Meister mixed in with Chulin.
Right.
So, yeah. So in three out of these four cases, you're going to have Meister and Chulin mixed up with each other. And in one of them, where you call the 10th and 11th together, where you call them both 10th, you're going to have Meister and Shlomim mixed with each other. Okay. So they're going to ask, why do we need that extra case? Once we said that if both of them came out in the ninth place and you call them, that the ninth and tenth came out together and you call them both 10th, automatically we know the same din would also apply if two animals came out of the 10th. So what does he need to tell us? Doesn't it amount to the same thing? The answer is ha kamash malon. That is the point. Rava wants to inform us dechol bas achas, that whenever you have two animals come out together, tarvayu kokadshi, both of them are going to be kodesh. But afal gav dloineta shem asiri hemenu. The chiddush is going to be that in this case you did not have the name of the tenth wasn't removed from it. Remember, we talked about in the Mishnah the case, for example, where you mistakenly called the tenth one number 9, and you called the 11th one number 10. So then we said the 11th one has kedusha, but we also mentioned that the situation over there was that you called the tenth something else. You were oiker its name from it. Here the point is, Rava wants to tell you, look, you weren't oiker the name of the tenth from it, because you did call both animals 10. They both came out together, and you said 10 over both of them. So you weren't oiker the name of the 10th, and still we say the 11th has kedusha. So the question is why? Yosef Rav Kahana Omalei Lahoshmaita. Rav Kahana was sitting and saying over this teaching, Omalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. What do you mean? How could the 11th one be kodesh in that case? V'haloi l'neto shema siri hamenu. The name of the 10th one hasn't been removed from it. The 10th one was called 10th. Utsnan, and we said in the Mishnah, Zahakwal, calls man shall enekha shema siri hemenu. Whenever you didn't remove the name of the 10th one from it, ein achad also mekodesh, then the 11th one is not mekodesh. In other words, the straightforward case the Mishnah is telling us is, let's say, so you have the 10th one came out and you called it 10, then the 11th one came out and you also called it 10. So we say the 11th one has no kedusha. The 11th one only has kedusha if you called the 10th one something else. Now, fine, but the Mishnah says, Zehakwal, this is the rule. And whenever the Mishnah says, Zehakwal, it's always coming to add an extra case. So, Zehakwal le'isuyamai, what would that Zehakwal come to be adding? Lav le'isuyamabasachas, wouldn't the pashtos be including the case where the 10th and 11th came out together? And still the Mishnah would be telling us that the 11th one has no kedusha because you weren't oiker the name of the 10th. So that how does that fit with what Rava is saying? The answer is no, that's not necessarily what the Mishnah is coming to include with Zahakwal. The Mishnah might be including also the case where the 10th one came out and you didn't say anything. So the 9th one came out, you called it 9. The 10th one came out, you didn't say anything. And then the 11th one came out, you called it 10. So then the Mishnah would be saying, the Mishnah would be saying, because you weren't oiker, the name of the tenth man. Now, you didn't call the tenth number 10, but you didn't say anything, and I'm hearing the Eil HaKadosh. So therefore, you didn't remove the name of the tenth from it. You didn't call the tenth something else. Therefore, that's what the Mishnah would be saying. In that case, the 11th one doesn't have Kedusha. Not necessarily is the Mishnah addressing Rava's case when the tenth and the 11th one came out together.
So they could. This case could have been the case of the tenth and the 11th coming out one after another.
So in other words, the Mishnah would be telling us there's two possibilities. One is the 10th one came out and you caught, well, actually there could be three possible cases. You could have the 10th one came out and you called it 10. Then the 11th one came out and you also called it 10. The Mishnah is telling us that the 11th one has no Kedusha because you didn't take away the name of the 10th one from it. Another case would be where you called the 10th one 9 and the 11th one 10. That's when you were oiker the name of the 10th one from it. And that's when the Mishnah is saying, therefore, that the 10th has Kedusha and the 11th also has Kedusha and is brought to the Shlomim. And then you'd have a third case, which would be where the 10th one came out and you didn't say anything, doesn't matter, I'm still doing Eil HaKadosh, and then the 11th one came out and you called it 10. The Mishnah would be implying that that last case is also the 11th is not Kaddish. Because as long as you didn't call the 10th something else, right, whether you called it 10 or whether you didn't call it anything at all, the 11th one has no Kedusha. The only case where the 11th would have Kedusha would be in the cases that the Mishnah is dealing with, which is when animals come out one after the other, would be where you called the 10th one none. Now, Rava is talking about a different case. Rava is saying that's all fine and good. That's all with the cases of the Mishnah, which are dealing with the animals coming out one by one. I'm telling you a different case where two animals came out together. And then it doesn't matter with the fact that you weren't oiker the name of the tenth. Then the fact that because E F Shalasamsim, therefore you don't know which one is the tenth one and which is not. And therefore you can say that the 11th one, actually, if you were able to figure out eventually which one was the 11th one, you would actually still consider it a shlom, and it still would have the din that it is Kaddish. Because the Mishnah, when it mentions that if you weren't oiker the tenth, that's talking about when they came one after the other. The Mishnah is not talking about a case where they come out together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Hani mila b'zach hazeh. So the answer is, Rav Kahana answers, the Mishnah is talking about only cases where they come out one after the other. But if 10th and 11th come out together and you call them both 10th, then both of them are Kaddish. So the question is, okay, but b'zach hazeh b'hedya katani lo. Okay, but cases where they came out one after the other, we don't have to infer it from the Mishnah. It says so explicitly in the Mishnah. Kodol atshi yasiri, that if you call the ninth one 10, ola asiri yasiri, and then you call the tenth one 10 also, ola achados yasiri, and then you call the 11th one 10, ein achados mekodesh, we say then the 11th is not mekodesh because you weren't oiker the name of the tenth from it. And then the Mishnah gives the klal, zeh klal. So again, zeh klal is to yamai. So now, what else could the Mishnah be coming to add with the zeh klal? Wouldn't it be including the case where they came out at the same time, which is Rava's case? In other words, so Rav Kahana had answered Rav Ashi that the Mishnah could be talking about different cases where they come out one after the other, but the Mishnah seems to have covered all the possible cases where they come out one after the other. So what else would it be including with Zach Klal, if not cases where they come out two together? The answer is no. The Mishnah could still be adding another case which we haven't yet dealt with. The Mishnah could be including the case where the 10th one came out and you didn't say anything. The Hala, Necha, Shem Asiri, and then the fact is you weren't oiker the name of the 10th because you didn't say anything, and Asiri Me'il of Kaddish. Well, fine. The Mishnah, in other words, talks about the case where you called the 10th one 9th. It also talks about the case where you called the 10th one 10th. Then the Mishnah does not explicitly mention the third possible case, which is you didn't call the 10th anything at all. So that would be what it's adding with the Zach Klein. And then, again, the Mishnah is still not dealing with cases where two came out together. That's what Rava is dealing with.
Can't you infer that when you didn't say anything for the 10th one, you could infer from the case when you didn't say anything for the 9th one? We saw
not
before.
Really, because the ninth one you don't necessarily have to say anything. The tenth one, I mean, the tenth one, Asiri Me'il of Kaddish. The ninth, and actually, we discussed yesterday when we talked about, first of all, when we talked about not saying anything about the ninth one, we were talking about in connection with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's opinion. we're talking over here according to the Chachamim. But second of all, you had Tosfos over there discussing that maybe Shosak Tachshi, remember, it means not necessarily that he actually didn't say anything about the ninth, but rather that he didn't call the tenth. So here we're not focusing on the ninth anymore, and here we're not talking according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Here we're talking according to the Chachamim, and we're focusing on the tenth.
Right.
So the argument is, the Mishnah is telling us two possibilities of what you might have done with the tenth when it comes out individually. One is where you called it nine, another one is where you called it ten. Then the Mishnah says, Zahakwal, this is the general rule, to include the third possibility where you didn't say anything at all. But the Mishnah is not dealing with cases where they came out together. That Rava is dealing with, and Rava is saying that's a different kind of thing. Then both of them have Kedusha.
So Zahakwal has to be something similar to what the two previous cases before, which is one animal after the other, rather than two animals at one time.
Well, that's the answer we're giving. We thought in the question, maybe not. We thought that
right.
call could include any kind of case.
Right.
Now we're saying,
right.
no, that call can include another case with individual animals that the Mishnah didn't address.
Right.
Right. Okay. In fact, the Gemara says, you have to say it that way, because if you're not going to say it like that, if you're going to think that the Mishnah is actually addressing cases where they both came out together, then, Hodatanya, what are you going to do with this that it says in a Braisa? Yotu Shnayim Ba'asiri, that if two animals came out in the tenth position, Beloi Kodem Echad Manas Kaveri, and neither one came before the other one, both of them, one second, and that comes Moshe. Okay, we're all here. Okay, hi Moshe. Okay, so we're holding on Samachom with Bay is about 12 lines or so in the bottom. So we said Rava is talking about a case where two animals come out together in tenth position, and the tenth and the 11th. You call both of them tenth, and Rava is saying that the 11th one in that case does have Kedusha. We said, what about the Mishnah? We said the Mishnah is only talking about cases where they come out, where the tenth one comes out individually. And in fact, as Martha says, the Eloi Temahal, if you're not going to say like that, if you're going to say the Mishnah is talking also about cases where where the 10th and the 11th come out together, what are you going to do? Hodetanya. What about this that you have in a Braisa? What are you going to do with this that you have in a Braisa? Yotsu Shnayim Basiri, if two animals come out in 10th position, meaning the 10th and the 11th one come out together, V'loi Kodem Echaman Echaber, and neither one comes out ahead of the other one, V'kron Asiri, and called them 10th, then Asiri V'achadosim U'Rovin Zebazeh. Then you say the 10th and the 11th are mixed together, which is basically what Rava is saying. So after all, why now, according to the rules of our mission, you would have to ask, why is that the case? After all, you didn't say that the tenth one is something else. You didn't call the tenth one number nine. You called it number ten, and didn't our mission say a rule that unless you were oiker the name of the tenth from it, then the 11th one doesn't have kosher.
Right.
So what's going on? El alav mishum da'amin, and it must be because we make this distinction. Kol bas achad kavayu kakadshi. When the both of them come out together, then both of them do have kedusha. So yes, that would be Rava's rule, that there's a difference between if the tenth one comes out individually, then you talk about were you oiker the name of the tenth and or not, and if you were oiker the name of the tenth, then the 11th one can have kedusha, and if not, then not. But when they come, the bas achad, that would be what the Braisa is talking about, which is exactly what Rava is talking about. And there you go, the 11th one does have Kedusha. Okay, the Gemara says, however, no, not necessarily. If that's your proof from that Braisa, then that's not really a solid proof, because Hochab Mayaskin, and because the Braisa might be talking about a different case. Now, the rule is, in general, we often say that this is one of the Kloliak Gemara that the Rishonim say, is a Mishnah or a Braisa doesn't always have to give all the details of a case. A Mishnah or a Braisa can give a case leaving out certain critical details and leave it up to the Amoraim to explain. As opposed to an Amora Sorek Lafarish Dvar of Yosef, the expression. An Amora is expected to say all the details that are relevant to his case. So therefore, so in Robert's case, if he doesn't mention anything that happened over here, then we have to assume. We're just talking about plain and simple. The first nine came out. Nothing special went on, and then when it came to the 10th place, the 10th and the 11th one came out together. But the Braisa could be talking about another case. Hochav Mayaskinen, the Kodim Chad Minayu of Afik Lereshe, suppose that one of these next animals, so nine have come out so far, and you counted them individually, then the tenth one goes and sticks its head out of the pen, but it didn't come all the way out. The Kalya Achadoser, then you called it, when it stuck its head out, you called it number 11. Then it got mixed up with the other ones. Now it's not considered. Now before we talked about that when you counted one of them and then it goes back in, okay, Minyan Aroi Poyter. Here it's not Minyan Aroi because it wasn't supposed to be called the 11th. It was supposed to be called the 10th.
Enough that putting his head outside without putting
his head outside? Okay. So the Rambam holds and writes la halacha that we don't just mean his head over here. We're talking about where it stuck out its head and most of its body. In general, in halacha, we say, just as we say with a person, here we say with an animal, that when its head and most of its body is in a certain area, then it's considered that the whole body is there. So the Rambam would understand that all Gemara is talking about that would not just have stuck out its head, but it actually stuck out its head and most of its body. And therefore, it's already considered that it went out. And it was actually legally considered the 10th one. And you called it 11. So that's the case. With that said, there are some of the Achronim who want to say, one of the Achronim, I think Tal Torah, wants to say maybe there's a distinction. Maybe for it to actually be counted as one of the animals for Maisa Behema, so that then you continue with the next number, it has to be that it stuck out its head and most of its body, like what Amman says. Maybe as far as the din of the 11th one mistakenly being called 10, or the 10th one mistakenly being called 11, he says maybe it would be enough if it just sticks out its head. Anyway, whatever it is, the point is, it stuck out its head, and let's say, according to the Rambam, also most of its body. You called it 11. Then it got mixed up with the other animals. The Nafuk Bahadadi, and then it went out together with the next animal, the Karinu Asiri, and you called them both 10. Now you were the name 10 from it, because you called it 11 to begin with. The one that stuck its head out, exactly. It really was legally the 10th, because once it sticks its head out, or again, according to the Rambam, most of its body as well, then it is legally considered the 10th at that point. Mm-hmm. But you called it 11. So there you have, you were oiker the name. So that's when we can say, okay, so the Braisa could be talking about that case. You were oiker the name of the 10th. Not necessarily is the Braisa talking about a case where there was nothing like that, just the straightforward case that Rob is talking about where when it came, the 10th place, the 10th and the 11th ones came out together. Maybe the Braisa could be addressing that, but not necessarily. The Braisa could be talking about a case like this where one of them stuck out of 10 first.
Right.
So the question is, what do you mean? The Mishnah clearly, the Braisa, I mean, clearly says that it didn't come first, implying that they both came out together. Okay, the answer is, my like called them the Hadu Iru. Okay, what we mean is when eventually it came out, it wasn't ahead of the other animal with it, because they came out together, but it did first, it started coming out first, then it went back in, and then later on, when it comes out completely, then it's walking side by side with the other animal. That's what the Braisa could mean.
So the animal stuck
most of its body out. You called it number 11, which you weren't supposed to do. You were supposed to call it number 10.
Yeah.
Then it went back in, and then it immediately went out again together with another animal. So now you have a clear case where you have the 10th and 11th one are together, but you called the 10th one 11, which means you were oiker its name because you called it 11 instead of 10. And then the other one that's with it, you called 10, and now you have the case where you were oiker the name of the 10th, and the 11th one therefore has Kedusha, and therefore is brought to the Shlom. But not necessarily is the Braisa talking about a case where none of that happened, where just the 10th and 11th ones came out together, and you called them both 10. Maybe that wouldn't be. You can't necessarily prove from the Braisa the din that Rava is saying that in that case, the 11th one still has Kedusha. But after all, in that case, you won't oiker the name of the 10th one.
But here you did oiker the name of the 10th.
So in the case where it stuck its head out, then you were oiker. That's the point. In other words, we're saying the Braisa, you can't necessarily prove from this Braisa, you can't necessarily prove Rava's point. Because the Braisa could be talking about such a case, whereas Rava is talking about where you didn't have any of that, where you weren't oiker the name of the 10th at all, whereas the Braisa is talking about a case where you were oiker the name of the 10th. And in that case, the Gemara continues, Ukaman, so who would this Braisa be like? Why would this Braisa have to mention this point? Deloy to Rebbe. The point would be just to tell us, not like Rebbe. The E-Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, which we're going to quote a Braisa soon, was Rebbe's opinion, according to Rebbe, Ha'amar Achad Oso Le'Havi Akira. Rebbe holds that calling the 10th animal number 11 is not called Akira. So the Braisa over here would be telling us, not, we don't hold like Rebbe. If you call, whether you call the 10th one 9 or whether you call it 11, it's still considered Akira. So that would be the point of the Braisa, just to inform us that we don't hold like Rebbe, that it doesn't hold like Rebbe as far as this business of calling the 10th one 11. Not necessarily, then, is the Braisa taking a position on the case where nothing started coming out first, which is Rava's case.
So for the Chachamim, you don't have to call the 10th the 11th, like for
Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter. If you called the 10th one by any other number, you called it 9, or you called it 11, then it still has, still considered, then that leaves room now for the 11th one to become Kaddish, to be a Shlomi.
But if you, as opposed to Rebbe.
As opposed to Rebbe, who would say, if you called it 9th, yes, that leaves room for the 11th to be a Shlomim, but if you called it 11th, then he wouldn't.
Right.
Okay. However, the Gemara says...
the Alakha is like the Achamim, right?
The Alakha is like the Achamim, right. And the Gemara says, Afilu Tamer Rebbe. Anyway, not necessarily. You could even say that this Braisa that we just quoted actually goes according to Rebbe, because Ki Omer Rebbe, you know when Rebbe is talking about, when does Rebbe say that if you call it 11th, then it's not considered Akira, Heicha de Isra Behemoth Tshuva, where you have a lot of animals. In other words, you're going to be taking a lot of animals from Meisah, at least two, because you have at least 20 animals. So then, when you have a lot of animals, when you're going to be taking at least two animals from Meisah Behemoth, Damrin and Chad Isura, Kalmar, because then we can reinterpret, when he said, it's not like in English, you say the word 11, The word 11 in English is a separate word. It's not made up of 10 and 1. But on the other hand, in Hebrew, you say achad oser, which literally means 1 10. So therefore, Rebbe might be talking about a case when you have, let's say, if you have 20 or 30 or 40 or whatever it is animals, and therefore you're going to be giving multiple ones from Meisah Behemoth. So when you finish the first 10, when the 10th one comes out and you say achad oser, not necessarily are you saying this animal is number 11. Maybe you're saying this is the first 10, and later on there's going to be a second 10 and a third 10, and so forth. So that's why Rebbe would not consider it Akira. Over here, our Braisa that we just quoted could be talking about you don't have more animals. You have somewhere between 10 and 19 animals, so you're only going to be taking one animal from Meisah Behemoth. So even Rebbe would have to agree. If you say Achad Oser, there's no way that you meant the first 10, because there's no second 10. So the Braisa could even work according to Rebbe. So Rebbe himself would decline.
How would it work according to Rebbe again?
Because again, Rebbe would hold, if you say Achad Oser on the 10th, then we have to consider, is there a possibility that your Achad Oser meant the first 10, then you weren't Oiker the name. So then the 11th one, if you accidentally call it 10, has no Kedusha. On the other hand, if you only have 11 or 12 or 13 or whatever it is animals, then when you say Achad Oser on the 10th one, there's no way that could possibly mean the first 10, because you don't have a second 10 to work with. Therefore, that's considered Akira, and therefore now the 11th one, when you call it 10, we'll be able to have Kedusha and be a Shlomi.
Mm-hmm.
So that could work according to Rebbe as well. Okay. My Rebbe, where do we see Rebbe's opinion? Let's find that Braisa. Titania, we learn in a Braisa. Korala Siri Achad Oser, if you call the 10th animal number 11, and again, we have to remember that we're using the Hebrew word over here, Achad Oser, which literally means 1 10. Or Achad Oser Asiri, and then you call the 11th 1 10. Ein Achad Oser Kodesh Dibre Rebbe. So Rebbe says the 11th one does not have Kedusha, because according to him, that's not Akira. Although, as we just said, that might only be the case, according to Rebbe, when you have multiple sets of 10. So then your Achad Oser can be reinterpreted as one group of 10. That wouldn't necessarily apply when you only have between 10 and 19 animals. Anyway, that's Rebbe. Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda. I'm Achad Oser Kodesh. Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda says the 11th one is Kodesh in that case, because you will oiker the name of the 10th. Klal Omer Rebbe, and the Braisa continues, Rebbe says a general rule, Kol Zman Shle Neka Shem Asiri Henaru, whenever the name of the 11th one was not removed from it, whenever you called the 10th one, rather, whenever you didn't call the 10th one something else, Ein Achad Oser Kodesh, then the 11th one is not Kodesh. So again, according to this, then we can explain, as we said before, that Rebbe would say that when you called it Achad Oser, it doesn't mean that you called it number 11, it means that you called it the first So therefore, Rebbe would not consider it akira. And that's it. Omar Rava. So Rava says, "Hocho my skin." And as we said before, this is what this is the case we're talking about. You're going to Israel behemoth tshuva, where you have a lot of animals. Zamin and chadi surafama. Where when he says achad osur, it could mean one group of ten.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's not considered akira.
So for Rebbe, nekar means you use tishi or shmini or shivi
or something
like that,
which clearly, which in no way can be interpreted to mean ten, right? I'm the conscious also, Rebbe might say, for example, if you're counting in English and you say 11, he might also say, I mean, there's no way to reinterpret 11 as one group of 10. On the side of it, he brings a slightly different here. So I'm touching that this last thing, Klalama Rebbe was asking a question. That on the one hand, we have Rebbe saying when you're calling it Ahab Osir, then we're saying that the 11th one later on is not Kaddish. On the other hand, we have a Braisa that says, where he says that if you're Osir, the name of the 10th, then it is, and isn't calling it the 11th being Osir. And the answer is, Rava's answer, that when you call it number 11, when you call it Ahab Osir, doesn't actually mean calling it 11, it means calling it the first group of 10. Okay. Fine.
Right.
So that takes care of that then. So we're left with therefore. So we didn't have a proof for Rava's din, but we didn't have any contradiction to it either. The halacha is in fact like Rava. So therefore, if the 10th and 11th animals come out together, then yes, both of them are going to have kedusha. One's going to be meiser, the other one's going to be shlomim, and you don't know which one is which. Which leads us into our next discussion over here. So now, if you have these two animals, one of them is supposed to be meiser, one of them is supposed to be shlomim. Now let's consider. When you get down to it, there are certain similarities between Maiser and Shlomim. Both of them are Kodshim Kalim. Both of them can be eaten by any, most of them anyway, can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. They can be eaten by anybody, Yisraelim, Levim, and Koyanim. And they can both be eaten for 2 days and two nights, for 2 days and one night. So far, so good. On the other hand, you have certain differences between them, and now we're going to focus on those differences and see, well, how do we go about bringing, what do we do with these animals? So if two animals come out in the 10th position, so you have the 10th and the 11th, and we said before that they're considered, that now you have 10th and 11th mixed together, and you have that both of them are Kaddish, because one of them is the real 10th one, and therefore it's Maiser, the other one is the 11th one, which is called 10th, and therefore it's a Shlomim. So what do we do with them? Tana Chodah Yiru, you have three different braises that say what to do with them. One braisa says you have to leave them both animals to graze till they develop a mum, and then you can shech them and eat them. The Tani Chodah, and actually, I guess you'd have to be poda one. You have to be poda one of them since it was supposed to be a shlomim. The Tana Chodah Yakrivu, a second braisa says you can bring both of them as the respective type of korban. The Tana Idach Yamusu, and a third braisa says you have to leave them to die. You have to lock them up in a room. So what's going on? Why do these braisas have these different opinions? So loy kasha. So there's no contradiction. The Tana Yiru, the Braisa that says that you should leave them to graze, Rabbanim. That would be a point of the Rabbanim. The Amri, which they say a concept which we learned in Zvachim, Ein Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis Atzur. You cannot cause that Kodshim are going to end up becoming possible. Now, what's going on over here? Again, so we have a lot of similarities. Both of them can be, now, in general, you have a concept when you have, for example, two Karbonis mixed up with each other. So we say that the Chumim in general hold Ein Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis Atzur. You can't say, well, okay, we'll eat it like the Chumra of them. Let's say you have one which can only be eaten by Koyanim and the other one can be eaten only by Yisraelim. The Chumim will say, let's take an example that we don't have over here. Let's say one of them can be eaten only for 1 day and one night, like a Chatas, and the other one can be eaten for 2 days and one night, like a Shlomim. The Chachamim will say, you can't say, well, okay, you know, whichever it is, Chatas or Shlomim, we'll treat it as if it was a Chatas, and therefore, so we'll eat it only for 1 day and one night. Can't do that, because Ein Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis Atzur. You're going to cause that there's a greater likelihood that this korban that parts of it are going to be left over after the time and become noiser.
Right.
Now, over here, both of them can be eaten for 2 days and one night. Both of them can be eaten in Yerushalayim, but the problem is when it comes to the Chaz of a Shurk. The problem is, a shlomim, you have the chaz of a shurik of it are given to the koyanim, and only the koyanim and their families can eat them, as opposed to, with maaser, you don't have that. Now, relatively speaking, there are fewer koyanim than there are members of other shvatim. So therefore, if you do that, then you're going to have a problem. Not as far as the koyanim as a whole, fine, but as far as the chaz of a shurik, that you're causing a greater likelihood that it's going to become possible. So therefore, the chachamim say you can't do that. Therefore, So it's one thing if the korbanos had already been shechted, you have no choice. But if the, then you have no choice but to treat them as if they were a shlomim. But as long as they're both alive, the chachamim are going to say, don't do that. Don't take. Don't be bringing these as korbanos. Leave them to graze till they develop a mum. So that'll be the chacham.
Because otherwise the chaz of a shoik,
you're causing a greater likelihood is going to end up becoming noiser. Because you're going to say the chaz of a shoik of both animals have to be given to the kohenim. Okay, one of them is legitimately supposed to be given to the kohenim because one of these animals is a shlomim, but the other one is not, and you're going to be giving a chaz of a shoik to the kohenim anyway. Since only the kohenim and their families can eat them, you have a greater likelihood that it's going to end up becoming noiser. So therefore, the Chachamim will say you can't be makir of the korbanos under such circumstances. Okay, v'hadetani rakiru. Then the second brayso, which says you can be makir of both of them, that is Reb Shimon. That would be the opinion of Reb Shimon. D'amar mevi'im kodshim levet apsul. Reb Shimon doesn't have a problem with this concept of mevi'im kodshim levet apsul. So in Zvachim, again, we have examples where animals of korbanos were mixed up, or you have other examples. Let's say for example, as we know, why don't we say mizmor l'soda an erev Pesach and an erev Yom Kippur. Because in the times of the Beth Mikdash, you couldn't bring a toda on those days because you're not going to have enough time to eat them before chametz is also, or before all food is also on Yom Kippur. Whereas Reb Shimon doesn't have a problem with that. Reb Shimon says, maybe in kodshim levet apsul. So according to him, there's no problem being makir with both these korbanos. You're going to end up, there's a greater chance that the chaz of a shoik of one of them is going to end up that the kohenim may not eat it in time. Reb Shimon says, I don't care about that. Now you do have other issues over here. You have other issues. Tosfos mentions over here. For example, shlomim requires smicha, meiser doesn't. So okay, Tosfos says you just don't do smicha. Fine, smicha is not ma'aser. If you didn't do smicha, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah in full. But it's okay. Rashi elsewhere, because this gemara is also brought to another place in the chaff. Rashi elsewhere says just the opposite. You do smicha on both of them. You have another issue as well. Tosfos mentions that a shlomim requires nesachim, requires flour and wine and oil with it. A shlomim requires nesachim. A maaser doesn't. Okay, so there, what you can do is you can bring one set of nesachim and make a tnai, whichever one of them it belongs to. These should be the nesachim for it. So according to Reb Shimon, you can make it work. So that's the second braisa that says you should be makir both of them. The third braisa that says you have to leave them both to die, Rabbi Yehuda. That would be according to Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, the Amatos Maisa Tzmura Havya, where in our Mishnah we discussed the question, is the 11th one, when you made a mistake and mistakenly called the 11th one 10, and he said it has Kedusha, so in the Mishnah we discussed, is that animal considered a Tzmura or not? So Rabbi Yehuda argued that it is considered a tzmura. That's why he said, b'chiyash tzmura oisa tzmura. You wouldn't be able to produce a tzmura using that 11th one, because it itself is a tzmura. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that tzmura smaiser, Rabbi Yehuda holds that toh smaiser, when you made a mistake and misdesignated an animal as meiser, then it's considered a tzmura, as he said in the Mishnah. Tzmura haber, and kosover a meir tzmura smaiser meiser. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that in such a case, when you have tumura of meiser behema, then it's one of those cases where you have to leave it to die. We've learned before about chatoris hamesis. Here it's a different case. So one of the cases of chatoris hamesis actually is tumura chatos. We'll learn about it in the fact of tumura best Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the same rule would apply to tumura meiser. You can't be makir of it, and you can't leave it to graze. You have to leave it to die. Okay, the question is, chasavar of Yehuda tumura meiser meiser? But what are you talking about? Does Rabbi Yehuda actually hold that a tzmura of meiser has to be left to die? V'hatnan, we said in the Mishnah, Omru Mishum Rameir, we said when we had the discussion, can the 11th one produce a tzmura? So Rameir had said yes. Rabbi Yehuda had said no, because a tzmura can't produce another tzmura. And then the Mishnah finishes off, Omru Mishum Rameir, they said in the name of Rameir, of course the 11th one is not a real tzmura, because Ilu Hoya Tzmura Loi Hoya Korev, if it was a tzmura, then you wouldn't be able to be makriv with it, because tzmura of meiser, you're not makriv. Tzmura of meiser, we thought until now that you leave it to graze till it develops a mum, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we're going to say according to Rabbi Yehuda now that it dies, then what is Rameir saying? What do you mean Loi Hoya Korev? Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're offering it, and therefore, as a korban, as a shlomim, and therefore, the mayor is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, once you agree that we're makriv it as a korban, don't you have to agree that it's not a real tzmura? So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds? Not only it's a real tzmurda, but that you have to leave it to die. Then what's your Meir's argument in the Mishnah?
Because if he believes it's a real tzmurda, you don't offer it.
If it's a real tzmurda of mice, so you wouldn't offer it, exactly. So if Meir is saying that, you know, the fact of the matter is, he says, look, Rabbi Yehuda, the fact of the matter is we're offering this animal as a korban, therefore you have to agree that it can't be a tzmurda, because tzmurda of mice, so we wouldn't be makir. Why, if we're saying now that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that tzmurda of mice, you leave to die, then why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda answer to the Meir? What are you talking about? You're not makir of this, you leave it to die.
Right.
Okay, so you can answer fine. Maybe the mayor is following his own svara. Maybe the mayor is not saying, maybe the mayor is saying, as far as I'm concerned, I can't consider it a smurda. I can't consider it a smurda because either way, it's smurda, lahay yakariv. What you hold, Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know. That's not my concern. The problem with that is we have another proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds that your makri is the 11th animal as a shlomim. V'hatanya, we learn in another braisa, ein bein achad also l'shlomim. There's no difference between the 11th one, which you mistakenly called 10, and a shlomim. There's no difference between them. Ela shezeh ois ha-kedusha likrav, v'zeh ein ois ha-kedusha likrav. The only difference is that one of them has kedusha to the extent that you're makriv with it. A regular shlomim, of course, you designate an animal as shlomim, and then you're makriv with it. And the other one, the other one has kedusha, but not to the extent that you makriv it. So divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and that right, so says Rabbi Yehuda, implying kodesh likrav hu deloy, implying okay, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the 11th one doesn't have kedusha to the extent that you makriv it. Hu deloy ovid, it doesn't become the kedusha to be makriv. Ha ihu gufei kari, implying though that oise kedusha doesn't mean that it itself has kedusha. Oise kedusha means can it kedusha be then spread to another animal in a tzmura? So a regular shlomim is oise kedusha likrav. A regular shlomim, if you make a tzmura with it, then the tzmura itself is gor of the korban. The tzmura of shlomim is gor of the shlomim. As opposed to the 11th animal is not able to bring about kedusha on another animal to the extent that that other animal would be brought to the curb. And that's Rabbi Yehuda implying kodesh likrav hu deloy ovid. So it doesn't have the full status of a shlomim insofar as its tmura you would bring as a korban. Ha'ihu gufei kariv, implying though the 11th animal itself, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is brought as a korban.
Repeat that again. I didn't get that.
The Braitha is saying that the only difference between the 11th animal and a regular shlomim is that a regular shlomim, if you then go make a tzmura from a regular shlomim to another animal, the other animal not only has kedusha, but you actually makir it. Whereas the 11th one, which you mistakenly called 10th and now becomes a shlomim, does not have that strength. It doesn't transfer its kedusha to another animal if you make a tzmura with it, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that a tzmura can't make a tzmura, implying kodesh likrav hu deloy ovid. So the 11th one, when you make a tzmura with it, is not able to be makdish the other animal to the extent of it being brought to the korban. Ha'ihu gufei kariv, but the implication seems to be that it itself, the implication seems to be that the 11th animal itself is brought to the korban. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the 11th animal is left to die? And even if you have the 10th and 11th mixed together, then both of them are left to die, which we said was the third braisa. You're telling me that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. But we see clearly from this last braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds the 11th one is brought as a carbon. So in that case, then fine. Either he holds like a chamim ein mevi'in kodshim lebeis apsul, that you can't cause the kodshim of it to become possible. Fine. So we can't be makriv either of these animals because of the problem of the chaz of the shoy. So fine. You're going to leave them to both graves. Or you're going to hold like Rabbi, or he's going to hold like Rabbi Shimon mevi'im kodshim lebeis apsul, that's not an issue. And we could bring both of them as their respective korbanos, as meiser and shlomim, respectively. Okay. Either way, why would he be saying that it's left to die?
He says, according to this last braisa, you makar the 11th one, or you bring it as a shlomim.
So we're saying that we had three braisas. One says you leave them to degrade till they develop a mum. One says that you makar both of them. One says you leave them to die. We're trying to say that the third braisa, you leave them to die, is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because apparently we're saying Rabbi Yehuda would hold that the tzmura of meiser is not brought to the korban. But now we have a clear brisa that says that it is, that implies that it is broader than the Korban.
Right.
So not only we have the implication of our Mishnah, where Rav Meir argues to Rav Yehuda, if it was a Tmura, how would you be bringing it as a Korban, implying Rav Yehuda agrees with that basic concept that it's broader than the Korban. But aside from that, we have a brisa, which implies it more clearly, because Rav Yehuda is saying that the 11th one is unlike a Shlomim, it can't produce a Tmura, implying, but it's like a Shlomim in that it itself is broader than the Korban.
Right.
But Oy Ditanya, then you have yet another brisa we have to consider. A brisa in Torah Koyin, and that says im min abokar. The pasuk says if you bring a korban from the cattle, this is talking about shlomim. So the words im min habokar, in particular the word habokar, the cattle, is lodabis achadas of the shlomim. It comes to include this case of the 11th one being, it comes to include that the 11th one also is a shlomim. Actually, Rashi Ksaviyad said two reasons. Number one, because you have the extra hay, and number two, because since a few psukim later, it talks about if you bring sheep, then automatically you know that the previous part must be talking about cattle, because the only animals you can bring is korbanos, are cattle, sheep, and goats. Anyway, the point is, from those extra words in the pasuk, we're learning that the 11th one is shlomim. Yochol shani marba afakshi, continues the braisa, you would think that we can include also the 9th one, would also be considered a shlomim, if you call the 10th. No, a marta, because no, you have to say like this, v'chi hektish l'fon of mechadish, or l'achar of mechadish. When is an animal of hektish able to make another animal kaddish, only after it itself is hektish, not beforehand? In other words,
right.
If I have an animal of a shlomim, let's say, and I make a tmura with it, then fine, the other one has kedusha. But if I have a plain old cholin animal, and I make a tmura with it, nothing happens. So the same way, the logic is, once the 10th one has been designated, then it's able to make that the 11th should have the kedusha of a shlomim. But before the 10th one itself has been niskadish, we said that the 9th one is able to have kedusha, but not to the extent of being considered a shlomim, because even the 10th one hasn't even become kaddish yet. To heavy, I'm a la'achra makadish. When can an animal make another animal hektish? Only after it itself is kurdish. The same way, the logic is, the 10th one is only able to make another animal kurdish to the extent of bringing it as a korban only when it itself is kurdish, namely, not the 9th one, but rather the 11th one. Now, that was a braisa. That was a braisa from Sifra, from the Medrash Halacha and Vayikra. Now, we know Stam Sifra Mani Rav Yehuda, a Stam statement in Sifra, we know comes from Yehuda, just like we say Stam Mishneh Rav Meir, so also Stam Sifra is according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda.
Right.
And we're saying that we're including the 11th one and that it becomes a Shlomim. So what are you telling me, therefore, that Rav Yehuda would hold that the 11th one has to be left to die, and if it's mixed up with the 10th one, then both of them have to be left to die? Nothing doing. Rav Yehuda clearly says you bring it as a Shlomim. So we're still left with, we have to figure out the third braisa that we quoted before, the third braisa which says that you have to leave the animal to die. Who would that be according to?
It cannot be Rabbi Yehuda.
It can't be according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Because he says you bring it as a shlamim.
He says you bring it, right. Ela Tirgamer of Shimon Rav Abba, Kameh Rav Yechanan, rather than Shimon Rav Abba explained in the presence of Rav Yechanan, that we're talking, the third braisa is talking about a separate case. The Maisib is Manazeh. We're talking about Maisa Behema nowadays. If a person takes Maisa Behema after the Churban, or Mishum Takola, the reason why we would say it has to be left to die is because of the problem of Takola. You may end up shearing it, you may end up working it, you may end up shechting it without a mum. Now Rashi explains, at the beginning of the Perek, we learned that nowadays we don't take Maisa because of we talked about their various reasons why, but the bottom line is we don't take Maisa nowadays. But let's say, so Rashi says our Gemara, or our Braisa rather, does not hold like the reasons that we gave over there. It holds that Maisa Behema is Noyig nowadays, and if you take Maisa Behema nowadays, then the Braisa would be saying that you have to leave it to die on the grounds of Chakola.
Why would you have two braises that talk about before the Churban and the last one talks after the Churban? Does it make
why
sense?
Not? Why not? There's nothing wrong with a braise talking about what happens after the Churban. It could. Again, a braise doesn't have to specify the exact case that it's talking about. It could be talking about, it doesn't have to specify the exact details. It could be talking about where, what do you call it, it could be talking about where the third one could be talking about after the Churban, if you separated Meiser, which according to the way Rashi learns this Braisa, you actually would be required to separate Meiser nowadays, not like we said at the beginning of the Perek, but then you would have to leave it to die on the grounds of Takala. Other Mephoshim disagree with that concept. They say, in fact, the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. The Rambam paskins that it's nowadays. You're not supposed to designate Meiser Behemah nowadays. But if you do, then you leave it to graze till it develops some womb.
So what did he do with his Braisa?
So that's the thing. So he would say, okay, the halacha doesn't have to be like that, Braisa. But also there's an interesting point, actually, that Noda Yehuda makes, which is that, remember, first of all, we did learn earlier in the parak that you're not supposed to give Meis to Behemah nowadays. This Braisa might, again, hold that you are supposed to. So the Braisa might not necessarily be according to halacha anyway. But the Noda Yehuda actually has an interesting discussion about this. He says there might be a difference between an animal that has a mum, and you have to leave it till it develops the mum. You have to leave it to graze till it develops the mum, where, okay, you're putting it out of mind. You're realizing, look, I have to wait till it develops the mum. I don't need to keep it anywhere nearby. I want it to eventually develop a mum, so I'm not going to make sure to keep it nearby and guard it or whatever. Therefore, there's less of a chance that he's going to end up accidentally shearing this animal or working with it or what have you, versus the Noda Yehuda says, when you have an animal which is a tumin and you're actually expecting to bring it as a carbon, why would you be separating mice to the hamer nowadays, but that's just because you figure that Mashiach is going to come soon, and the Beth Mikdash is going to be rebuilt soon, and you're going to have a chance to bring it, and therefore you're going to separate it, and therefore so then you're going to try to keep it around because you're not going to want it to develop a mum or whatever, and then when it's nearby you, you're more likely to accidentally shear it or work with it. This is the Noda Yehuda writes that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the point is this last Braisa might be talking about Bizman Azeh. So therefore, the animal has to be left to die.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, Yehochi Mai Yiritrei, in that case, then why is the Braisa mentioning this concept only when you have two animals, the 10th and 11th that are mixed up? But Afilu Chadnami, wouldn't the same thing be true if you only had one of them? The answer is Loi Meboya Karma. You're right, the Braisa is telling us a needless to say thing. Loi Meboya Chad, needless to say, if you only have one animal, the less right Seda. Of course you should leave it to die. You don't have as much loss. You're only losing one animal. Avok today, but when you have two animals that got mixed up like that, given an efficient seder, you have now a huge loss. You're losing two animals. You would think maybe we should be makel on him. L'shehinu ad nipo b'humumah. Maybe we should be allowed to keep the animals around until they develop a mum. And then we should be allowed to eat them. Kamash Mon, and therefore the last Braisa tells us, I don't hold of such a thing. I don't hold of any such heterim, any such kulis. Even if you're talking about the guy who's going to lose two animals, that's his problem. And according to Rashi, we're talking even more so, because again, according to Rashi learns that this Braisa is even saying that nowadays you are actually required to separate Meis to Behemah. And that would mean that inevitably one out of every 10 of your animals is going to have to be left to die, according to that. And still, the Braisa is telling us not only you have to do that when you did the proper thing and you gave one of them as Meister, but even when you got mixed up and called the 10th one something else and then called the 11th one, or not, when the 10th and 11th came out together, rather than you called them both 10.
So you would have to...
Even though you're having a greater loss, nevertheless, the Braisa would be implying that you still have to leave them both to die in that case. So that would be the chiddush of the Braisa, that we're not going to give them any break on the grounds of Hesped or anything.
Mm.
Okay.
That's fine. Not the halacha, or it is the halacha?
No, the halacha is not like that. The halacha that Amman Paskins, if you separate Meis to Behemah nowadays, then you just leave it to graze till it develops a mum. And then you can check the meter. You're not supposed to. Again, the halacha is not like this in two ways. Number one, Rashi at least learns that the Braisa is saying that you have to separate Meis to Behemah nowadays. We learned at the beginning of the parak you don't. You're not supposed to. And number two, the Braisa is saying that you have to leave it to that you have to leave it to die. And the halacha is that you don't. You just leave it to graze. Okay. Another case. Ismael. If a person tells a shliach, go take Meiser from my animals on my behalf. So what happens if he makes a mistake? Rav Papi Mishmei the Rav Amar. Rav Papi says in the name of Rava, if he mistakenly calls the ninth one number 10, then it will have Kedusha. The Balabas will have to treat it like the regular case of the ninth that was called 10 and wait till it develops a mum and then check it and get it. or achad, or sraftiri, ain't a kaddish. But if he calls it 11th 1/10, then it wouldn't be kaddish because then the owner is actually losing something. Because the point is, in the first case, the owner is not really losing anything out of it. Okay, you have to wait till it develops a mum. I mean, you can't check it willy-nilly. You have to wait a while. Okay, big deal. But eventually, when he does, he's going to be able to eat it like any regular cholin. He'll be able to sell it like regular cholin, etc. As opposed to when he calls the 11th 1/10, then Rapapi would say that it's not kaddish because then that's considered a real mistake. Now that it becomes shlomim, he's making the owner lose the chaz of a shayt. So therefore, he can say, I didn't make you a shliach to mess things up for me. So therefore, your commission as a shliach does not include the ability to make two things. So that's Rapapi. But Rapapa says differently. No, even if he called the 9th 1/10 the shliach, it also wouldn't be kaddish. Even if he calls the 9th 1/10, it also wouldn't be kaddish. The amale, because the balabas can tell him in that case also, l'takunish da'uticha v'loy la'avsi. I sent you as my shliach to fix things up for me, not to mess things up for me. This is a general concept in the halachas of shlichus. It was in Shlosha Prakim of Rambam a few days ago, that when you send a shliach, if he messes up, it's his responsibility. You sent him to do the right thing. You didn't commission him to mess up. Therefore, his mess up is on his head, not on yours. So in this case, these aren't his animals. It means that his mess up has no effect. Neither the 9th 1 nor the 11th 1, says Rapapa, has any degree of kedusha to it, and the owner can do with them whatever he wants.
How does the principle of Akira stands here?
Because that's the thing. Rav Papa would say Akira applies only when the person who did the Akira had what was entitled to do that. A shliach is not entitled to be oiker. A shliach is supposed to follow the mishaleach instructions exactly. In this case, he didn't. He messed up. And the owner has the ability to tell him, I didn't make you my shliach for the purpose of messing up. In that sense, you're not my shliach anymore.
And therefore, There was no akira.
So the question is, my shnomi hoditznan. How is this different than a case that we learn in a Mishnah? Ha'oimer l'shluchot say no, not our Mishnah. A Mishnah in Masechta Truma. Ha'oimer l'shluchot teyotshoim. If a person tells his shliach, go and take truma for me from my produce, told him to das balabais. He should take truma according to the das of the balabais. Now we have a generous person gives 1/40th, an average person gives 1/50th, a stingy person gives 1/60th. So if the shliach happens to know that this balabas is a generous person, he should give 1/40th. If he knows that he happens to be a stingy person, 1/60th, etc. If any yager dies for balabais, what if he doesn't know what the balabais is like? Torah bebeinus echad minun. Then he should take truma according to the average, 1/50th. Piches asara, if he does 10 less, which means, for example, he did 10%, he did 1/40th instead of 1/50th, or he added 10, truma said truma, then his truma is still valid truma. Now, why can't the owner tell him that Kone Shakhtar Chavalai Labs? Suppose he gave 1/40th, suppose this balabas is an average person who gives 1/50th or a stingy person who gives 1/60th, why can't he tell him? What's a Kone Shakhtar Chavalai Labs? I wouldn't have given 1/40th.
How does it work?
And that would invalidate the truma. So why over there does it work?
Right.
The answer is Amri, because they said there's a difference. Hossam, in that case, given the ikka the torim ba'ayin yofa, the ikka the torim ba'ayin ra, because you have some, among people, there are different categories. Some people give more generously, some people give more stingy. Therefore, Omar, so therefore, the shliach can say it's not considered a mistake. Lahochi amadticha. I evaluated you as being the kind of person who would give 1/40th or who would give 1/50th or whatever. So therefore, that's valid. It can't be considered a toast because there are people who normally give that. Hacha, but over here, ta'usi, here we're talking about a blatant mistake. The fact is, there's no deliberate thing. It's not supposed to be a deliberate thing of designating the 9th or the 11th one. Therefore, Omar lo yivoy lachumiti. Therefore, the balabas has the ability to tell him, you shouldn't have made a mistake. And it was one thing to say when you have different categories of people, and I evaluated you as being in one category versus another, fine, that's a legitimate thing to say. But to say that, but to actually make a mistake of the kind, which is not normally a valid thing at all, because the tenth is always the tenth, the ninth is never really the tenth or whatever, that the owner has the ability to tell him that you weren't supposed to do that, and therefore you can't be considered my shliach in having done it.
So you can misjudge him as generous.
Or stingy or whatever, and that's valid.
But that's not considered a toast.
That's not considered a mistake. But to actually make a mistake, to actually make a blatant mistake, to
call
the 9th one 10, yeah, where the 9th one isn't the 10th one after all, and the 11th one isn't the 10th one after
that's
all,
a real
that no. Then we have the ability to say, look, I start to take a Hadron aloch mice to the hema or slickle on a sector of the fire. So I don't know when we'll make the see, or maybe we'll make it, maybe we'll, we might as well say that, I guess, for the 9 days. We'll see. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll start Masechta Erchin. Let's start with the first couple of words of it, like we're supposed to. Hakol Marichin v'Nerochin. Everybody can declare an Erech. Everybody can be the subject of the declaration of an Erech, which we'll reconvene tomorrow, Beis Hashem, at 8:15, and talk about what that means.
By phone,
also, yes.
Yeah. Shkeach. Thank you very much.
Shkeach.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.